relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story. What was it like to work at the highest levels of the Trump administration? We're going to talk to my good friend Monica Crowley now for a whole hour, and then my monologue. I have a feeling, I'm not sure, but I think something's happened and the left has had enough of sleepy Joe Biden. We'll get the whole team's take on today's America First.
Portions of the following program may contain pre-recorded material.
This is America First, and here's your host, Dr. Sebastian Gorka.
Welcome, dear friends, to America First One-on-One, where we get the best guests to sit down with us for an hour uninterrupted to get to the root of the real issues that matter. Not talking points, not little 60-second sound bites, but the answers from those who know. And today, I am delighted to have with us somebody who, I'm scratching my head, I can't even remember how we first met. We've been pals since the get-go. Former spokesperson for the Treasury, former assistant secretary of the Treasury, an all-round great American, Monica Crowley. Welcome to America First One-on-One.
It's fantastic to be here, Seb. Thank you so much. And we do go way back. I can't remember the last time.
Was it John Batchelor? Who introduced us originally? I'm trying to remember in the mists of time.
You know what? You may be exactly right that it was John Batchelor who put us together.
I think it is the master of the long form. God bless John Batchelor. I think you are correct. It was he who introduced us. Okay, we have to talk about so many things today. What you did in the Trump administration, the tragic state of the economy today, and also your latest piece in the New York Post. We must discuss because, oh, I dearly hope it happens. But first, for those who aren't familiar with Ms. Crowley, will you please explain to our millions of listeners and viewers across the nation where you came from, what your background is, and then how you eventually rose to the heights that you did in the Trump administration?
Well, thank you so much, Seb. Thank you for having me back. It's always a joy to be with you. And thank you for that question. Well, I was born on an Army base, Fort Huachuca, Arizona.
Fort Huachuca, the intelligence training center of the U.S. Army. Guys, it's not delightful. I'm making a joke. Carry on.
It is the intel hub for the U.S. Army, and my father was there, and I was born there, and that sort of informed the rest of my life. Extremely pro-military, America first, pro-America, all the way from the moment I came out of the womb. And then from there, I graduated from college. I have a PhD in international relations from Columbia University, two master's degrees and a PhD, actually. And my first job out of college,
Such an underachiever. I mean, just such an underachiever. Carry on.
Okay. Well, this is not going to help that characterization because my first job out of college, I worked with former President Richard Nixon during the last 4 years of his life and worked with him on his last two books and all of his speeches and traveled around the world with him and met all of the heads of state with whom he met. It was an extraordinary experience. And then when he passed away, I wrote two best-selling books about my experiences with him. And then from there, I launched a media career and Fox News, obviously, for many, many years. Still on Fox News and Fox Business and a radio career as well. And writing columns for places like the Wall Street Journal, the Washington Times, Los Angeles Times, Baltimore Sun, Boston Globe, and so on. So from there, I entered the Trump administration and served as Assistant Secretary of the Treasury for 2 years. And it was the honor and adventure of a lifetime. So, Seb, I'd like to say that I have been very blessed to work for two American presidents, Richard Nixon and Donald Trump, and man, do I know how to pick them.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Let's start there, if we can. So you wrote Nixon off the record, his candid commentary on people and politics. And the other book that you must check out is a slightly differently titled one. It's What the Bleep Just Happened, The Happy Warrior's Guide to the Great American Comeback. Check out both of those works. Let's start with your former boss, the former president. In the panoply of conservative presidents, in an age where just this week, Sleepy Joe Biden in Georgia tried to take ownership of the first Republican president, Abraham Lincoln. I think he forgot that he was the first Republican president. And in an age where you even see Obama try to say, yes, the Gipper was great, and they try and steal for their own heritage Ronald Reagan, just rewrite history, basically. There's one person who stands out there as this Darth Vader of Republicans, and it is Nixon. And, you know, I'm so delighted to regularly have another presidential historian on the show, Lord Black, who tries to write the record on who Richard Milhouse Nixon truly was. Would you share just a little bit of your experience working for him and what Americans need to truly know about that president?
Thank you for that question, Seb, and it's a really important one. And you mentioned Conrad Black. I actually met Lord Black through President Nixon. We actually went up to Toronto in the early 90s for an event, a dinner that Lord Black was hosting, and we were seated with him, and he's an extraordinary person.
He is.
So is Richard Nixon. And I have taken it upon myself voluntarily and with great joy in my heart. And I told President Nixon that I would do this before he died, to be his ambassador to future generations. So I really appreciate this question because, you know, a lot of kids are not being taught. First of all, they're not being taught a lot, but they're certainly not being taught Cold War history, American history after World War II. And Richard Nixon was the pivotal character. He was the pivotal leader for the United States in the post-war period. We talk a lot about Reagan. Reagan was critical, of course, at the end of that period, but Richard Nixon really defined the 20th century in the post-war period. He was a brilliant man, which even his detractors will concede. He was kind, which not a lot of people know, because he didn't show it a lot. He was very generous, very funny, which he also didn't show a lot. But he was also a true visionary. And by that, Seb, I mean that he was one of the very few American presidents that we have had who could see what the world was going to look like 20, 30, 40 years down the road and make American policy in the moment he was a leader to anticipate that world. So whether it was detente with the Soviet Union or the opening to China or shuttle diplomacy in the Middle East, Richard Nixon had a view of how the world was going to evolve when he was long out of the presidency and put policies into place to anticipate that world and prepare the American people and our allies for that world.
Can you address head on, as somebody who worked for him and knew President Nixon, that the two most common accusations about him are, you know, from the conventional wisdom, the legacy lying media, that, oh, he was just a paranoiac. And on top of that, he was a skullduggerous individual who just, you know, did things behind the scenes and wasn't a true statesman. Can you address both of those criticisms head on?
Sure. Well, first of all, he was a true statesman and he was a true intellectual, which, you know, his detractors don't want to concede that point. But Nixon, he was a loner. He liked to be alone for the simple reason that he needed to think.
This is for those who aren't familiar. His office wasn't in the White House. So, you know, the Oval Office, it's now been restored. When I worked there, it was a little memorial to him. But he used to work in the Eisenhower Executive Office Building across West Exec, because I think you're absolutely right. He liked to work alone. And I can relate to that, Monica.
Me too, Seb. Me too. I like quiet. I need time and space to think. And, you know, on day one of his presidency, he called in his new chief of staff, Bob Haldeman, and he said, Bob, I have one simple request on this first day of my presidency. And Haldeman said, okay, Mr. President, what is it? Anything. And he said, Bob, I need you to build in 1 hour every day into my schedule with no phone calls, no meetings, no disturbances at all. And Haldeman looked at him and he said, well, that might be a little difficult, Mr. President. Can I ask you why?
It wasn't for a nap, was it, Monica?
Right, right. And in fact, he said, look, I'm not Churchill. I don't need to sleep in the middle of the day. He said, I need 1 hour every day to think strategically about what was happening at home and what was happening abroad and long term. Because, you know, when you don't have that time, you don't set it aside, you get consumed in the minute to minute. And we can all relate to that. And he said, no, I want my presidency to be a visionary one where we are taking into account long term trends and putting America on a long term path. So, you know, that's the kind of thing that President Nixon did. He was an intellectual and a statesman.
Yeah,
to address just quickly your two big criticisms that you
We'll talk about that in a second. I want to make sure that we give you requisite time, but I want to stress right here what you just said, which is so crucial. And it's one of the missions we had when we entered the White House, is that the Obama administration had created this tactical nightmare. It was a replication of government in the White House. It wasn't strategic thought, and Richard Nixon was a strategic thinker. Stay here for more One-on-One with Monica Crowley after the break. Whether it's the regular Hellcat or whether it's the compensated RDP with that miniature red dot, I love them all. How did it take so long to invent a factory compensated subcompact 9mm? Well, guess what? Springfield did it. And I'm a huge fan, and I'm Sebastian Gorka.
The Hellcat from Springfield Armory is still the smallest, highest-capacity micro-compact in the world. Available in standard or optics-ready configurations, class-leading capacity of the Hellcat gives you 11+1 with the standard magazine and 13+1 with the included extended mag. The definitive concealed carry pistol is here. The Hellcat from Springfield Armory gives you the capacity to defend.
On the side of the U.S. Constitution, America first.
Dear friends, if you haven't done so already, if you've had enough of the shutdowns, had enough of the lockdowns, the quarantine, join me. We have our dates for our Stand With Israel tour. We're going to the Holy Land this November for 10 days. Check out standwithisraeltour.com. Even if you've been to Israel before, you haven't been with us and my colleague, Dinesh D'Souza, will be coming as well. We're going to all the key sites: Jerusalem, the Holy City, the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, Galilee, Caesarea, you name it, we're going to go. We're going to walk where our Lord and Savior walked the earth. Call today, reserve your tickets, 855-565-5519. That's 855-565-5519. StandWithIsraelTour.com. StandWithIsraelTour.com. Let's return, Monica. You said you're going to address the conventional wisdoms, the critiques of President Nixon. You knew the man. You worked for him. Please tell us the truth.
So you laid out two that have been in wide circulation in pop culture and in history, which is he was paranoid and that he had a very dark side to him. I think both of those things are untrue. I will cite the famous adage, Seb, even paranoiacs have real enemies. Richard Nixon had real enemies.
And many, many of them. As a senator, an ardent anti-communist, of course he had a lot of enemies.
Yes, he did. And you know what? He actually was the first modern casualty of the deep state. And I remember writing a column for the New York Post almost immediately after President Trump entered office, warning him of the lesson of Richard Nixon, which is, you know what, President Trump, you are surrounded by the exact same enemies Richard Nixon faced. They destroyed Richard Nixon because he handed them the sword. Do not hand your enemies the sword. And of course, we saw what happened with President Trump. So the deep state is real. Paranoids have real enemies. Richard Nixon had real enemies. He was right to be wise and to hip to them, but he did make a series of very serious mistakes and pay the price.
We've got the title of your next book, not Nixon off the record. You've already written that one. I think we have to have the first victim of the deep state. There you go. What a fabulous observation. Monica Crowley is our special one-on-one guest. Follow her on Twitter right now, at Monica Crowley. She is the author, most recently, of an op-ed in the New York Post. Love the New York Post, America's oldest newspaper, by the way. Hillary 2024, with Biden and Harris incredibly weak, Clinton sees a comeback. Monica, as my fellow Trump administration appointee, can we get so lucky? I mean, we're hearing it. We're hearing that Hillary is testing the waters. Is this just her lack of sense of reality, her ego? Or could it be? Could we be so blessed to have the Democrats run her again so she can be trounced by Donald Trump a second time?
A second time. It would be astonishing, Seb, wouldn't it? Well, I wanted to write this piece, and again, it's at the New York Post, and I posted it on all of my social media channels, on Twitter, Getter, and on my Instagram, which is at @MonicaCrowley_, so you can check it out there as well. I wanted to write it because I have been observing and talking about Hillary Clinton now for a very long time. And I think I'm something of a Hillary expert in watching her moves and interpreting what they mean. I never put anything past this woman. Her old blonde ambition to be president has not waned one bit. She cannot believe, in fact, she's eaten alive by this idea that she lost the presidency, not once, but twice, to two men who had a better finger on the pulse of where the American people were, Barack Obama and Donald Trump. She cannot fathom that she has never become president. After all, she gave up her entire adult life in service of Bill Clinton and his career, and including sucking up a lot of constant humiliations by that man, thinking she was going to be president someday. So she has not given it up. And she is out there now with fresh interviews, looking spiffy. And there's one thing that I noted in my piece, which nobody else has picked up on. She has her inner circle now engaged in a cleanup operation. So Bill Clinton, who's probably beyond repair in the Me Too era, but also Huma Abedin, who's written this memoir, and she's out there giving sympathy-inducing interviews. This is a cleanup operation, so that when Hillary Clinton is ready to go, her inner circle is also ready to go.
But I have to ask you, God willing, this Harridan will run and completely go down in flames as she did in 16. But the Democrats, I mean, if it didn't, I mean, it created a quasi-civil war last time because they had to have the superdelegates literally steal the nomination from Bernie Sanders last time. So is the Democrat Party going to let her back in? I mean, the base detests her. The Bernie bros are still there. So is the scenario institutionally even imaginable, Monica?
Well, it is, because the Biden-Harris administration has been in catastrophic collapse now since day one. And when Hillary looks around, she surveys the damage. She sees how incredibly unpopular Biden and Harris are. And she sees policy failures, at least from their point of view, in every direction, domestically and foreign policy wise. So she is going to try to position herself as the logical, trusted, known quantity. Failed, but known quantity to try to come in and save the day. She is going to have to compete with a lot of aspirants. And number one is going to be Kamala Harris. The Democrats have a big problem with her. First of all, nobody believes Joe Biden is going to run again. He's already eating strained peas and going to bed at 6:30. So he's not running again. Kamala Harris is the Democrats are in a bind with her because she's so unpopular and incredibly incompetent. She's going nowhere. If she stays and runs, she will sink like a stone. If they can manage to get rid of her, they're going to have to offer her, make her an offer she can't refuse. And they're going to have to do it in the next year while they still have control of Congress, because Congress has to approve any vice presidential replacement.
Right. So this is why we had that report from Chad Pilgrim at Fox, that the Democrats were told 2 months ago to brush up on the regulations for choosing a new VP. But what can they do with her? Nobody's leaving the Supreme Court. Where can they bump her sideways to?
Right. And that's exactly the point. The only lateral move would be the Supreme Court. And it doesn't look like Stephen Breyer is going to cave to the pressure to retire anytime soon. Could be wrong about that, but there are a lot of dominoes that need to fall into place. If they're able to remove Kamala, it is going to be an identity politics feeding frenzy. Yeah. Because as the first Black woman to hold that high office, they're going to have to replace her with another Black woman like a Stacey Abrams or a Keisha Bottoms or something. So Hillary is, she's got a lot of obstacles in front of her.
I have one.
Do not count her out.
One thing was floated yesterday on Thursday. I'm going to run it past you because you are such a canny political observer of the swamp. It would be delightful, even as delicious as Hillary running. I'll test it with you in a second, but first thing first, guys, if you enjoy what we provide for you, especially our one-on-ones, check out my new community. It's gorka.locals.com. Direct access to me and content you cannot find anywhere else, anywhere in the universe, just for you if you join my family. Check out today. We're having amazing fun there with content that is unique to you and the members of our new family. That's gorka.locals.com. GORKA.locals.com, GORKA.locals.com. More one-on-one with Monica Crowley after these messages. We've all been there. You get out of the shower, out of the bath, reach for the towel, and it's like sanding yourself down with a piece of cardboard. Why? Mike Lindell worked it out. They were importing towels from abroad, adding softness, and when you get home, it's just a con. Do what we've done. Order the incredible new MyPillow towels made with American cotton right here in the United States. Soft and absorbent as long as you own them. The six-piece set, two bath towels, two hand towels, two washcloths, regularly $109.99. You gonna get them for $39.99. If you use my name, go to MyPillow.com, click on the new radio list of specials for deep, deep discounts with promo code GORKA. You've never tried a towel like it. 1-800-829-8468. 1-800-829-8468. MyPillow.com, promo code GORKA.
The most awesome pipes in talk radio. Sebastian Gorka.
Welcome back to America First, one-on-one with Monica Crowley. So here's the additional twist on what we were just discussing with Hillary. Hillary, please do it. Just run. That there's floating the idea that... this is too good. Liz Cheney would be the Veep choice. And then you'd have the swamp, the utter most swampy of the swamp from both sides of the aisle. Wouldn't that be just superlative, Monica?
You know, clearly nobody has learned anything from Donald Trump's success in 2016 all the way through his first term as president. And that is that the American people on both sides are sick and tired of the corruption and darkness of the swamp. They're done with it, with the exception of those on the left and frankly, those in the Republican Party who get a lot out of being part of the swamp. The American people they've rejected it. They're onto it, they're aware of it, and they are rejecting it. So if the Democrats want to go with an all-swamp ticket of Biden and Cheney or Hillary and Cheney or Harris and God knows who else, have at it, because they're not going to have much success with that. And on the Republican side, Seb, you know, a lot of Republicans have not learned their lesson either. But I think enough people understand that the base now gets it, that they're not going to want to make a mistake like that. There will never be again a Jeb Bush or a Mitt Romney or a John McCain at the top of the Republican ticket. No way.
Her book, her historic book on Nixon is Nixon Off the Record, his candid commentary on people and politics. She's a former spokesperson for the Treasury. Follow her at Monica Crowley. Monica, share, if you will, with our listeners across the nation, our viewers on Rumble, a little bit about, tell them what it's like working for the Trump administration. It's a little bit different from working for the sleepy old guy who's sadly the putative president today. So how did you find it when you were inside the belly of the beast?
It was so fantastic, Seb. First of all, it was such an honor of a lifetime. I've always wanted to serve a president I really believed in. And of course, I had that extraordinary opportunity with former President Richard Nixon. But I really did want to go into an administration of a president that I really admired and respected. And, you know, we had different Republican presidents come and go, George W. Bush and so on. But now I look at it and I say, there's nobody like Donald Trump. And it was a wild ride of adventure and nonstop action for the American people. That's what a lot of people don't understand. They don't understand that Donald Trump was not in this for himself. He didn't need it. He was in it for America. A lot of people have a hard time understanding that because most politicians are in it for themselves, not Trump. He was genuinely in it to improve the lives of the American people and to get the country back on track. And that's why it was such an honor to be at Treasury. I was in the White House all the time and at the center of everything at Treasury, everything important from tax policy to economic sanctions on the world's worst bad guys. I was in the middle of all of it, and it was such an honor and such a blessing.
And your response to say he had his bite at the apple and Donald Trump shouldn't be running in 2024. What's your response, Monica?
Well, let me put it to you this way. We do have a lot of talented Republicans out there, Ron DeSantis, Ted Cruz, got a lot of them. But let me put it to you this way. For those who say, well, Donald Trump, you know, he did have his bite at the apple, and we know what his faults are, and the mean tweets and the tone and everything else. I will say this. We know that the left and the Democrats are going to destroy whomever we nominate.
Correct.
Whether it's DeSantis or Cruz or whomever.
Thank you.
They will destroy whomever. So why not go with the ultimate fighter who has been through the fire, knows what's coming at him, and knows now how to push back and handle it. I choose Donald Trump. If he wants to seek this presidency, I will be behind him 1,000% because I want somebody who's been through it before who knows how to go after him.
That's why she's Monica Crowley. Just that absolute to the marrow delivery of common sense. There is no person with R behind their name that they wouldn't attack unless it were fake Republicans like Liz Cheney. So the idea that another candidate will be treated better than Donald Trump is sheer fantasy. So if they're going to try and destroy the candidate anyway, what do you want? You want the toughest fighter in the room. And of everyone we know out there, sorry, Ron, you're doing great in Florida, but you're no Donald Trump. I'm Sebastian Gorka, former strategist to the President of the United States. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. That's Dr. G's specialty, America First.
This is America First, and our special guest, former Treasury spokesperson Monica Crowley. We have to exploit having you here with us, your time in the Treasury, to tell us what's going on in the last 11 months. Let's start with a little, I think it's indicative clip from the person who was the the mouthpiece of the White House and was asked about the state of the economy and supply chain shortages. Jen Psaki, propagandist in chief.
It was crystal clear that things were not improving on supply chain. People couldn't get dishwashers and furniture and treadmills delivered on time, not to mention all sorts of other things. So why
the
is it...
The tragedy of the treadmill that's delayed. Right.
The sarcasm, the Peloton comment. Give us your assessment of, did you think it would be that bad so quickly? Highest inflation in 40 years, hundreds of thousands of shipping containers off the coast of California, unable to be offloaded. Give us your treasury eye, your economic take on how we are where we are today.
You know, what's particularly tragic about this whole thing is that President Trump delivered a booming, thriving economy that was serving all Americans. It was literally a boat that was lifting the tide for all of the American people of every demographic and every income level. And then the pandemic hit. We were able to get the country through that acute period of crisis. And so when President Trump handed off this economy to Joe Biden, January 20th, 2020, he handed him the fastest economic recovery from any crisis on record. And what has Biden done with it? He squandered it and he has now destroyed it. So you've got a weakening economy, skyrocketing inflation, a labor crunch, and a supply chain crisis that is literally affecting all Americans, particularly those at the lower end of the income scale, because they're least able to withstand rising prices, right? So all of the people that Biden and the Democrats talk about really caring about and wanting to serve, they're the ones suffering under this Biden economy.
The very practical question, Monica. I look at the whole constellation, and I don't see anybody who could step in behind closed doors at a cabinet meeting or an agency meeting and say, okay, we got to fix this, and this is what you have to do. For, you know, whether it's Mayor Pete on his, you know, multiple month paternity leave, whether it's Gran Home Secretary of Energy laughing, cackling in a live interview when she's asked, well, do you have any plans as the Secretary of Energy for the rocketing price of gas? And she just, what do you mean, us? What? How could we have an impact on that? So have you seen, is there any voice of sanity or anybody whose credentials make you think, okay, there's one person amongst this shower who potentially could say to Biden and to the Economic Advisors Council, guys, it's wrong what you're doing.
Well, not really. The only one that I can think of is Ron Klain, who is the White House chief of staff, who is something of a grown up. He's been around Biden a long time. So he's been around Biden since the time Biden was known as a relative moderate in the U.S. Senate. There's nobody giving him sound economic advice, as far as I can see. When I say Klain, the only way that Klain would go to him and say these things aren't working is because Klain is now seeing a political consequence to the economy falling apart. So the arguments will be made, well, maybe we should pull back on this or not do this for political reasons because we're going into the midterm elections. That's the only thing that I can see. That the best advice coming from the Democrats on the economy are coming from former people like Larry Summers, who was Treasury Secretary under Bill Clinton. He's out there on Twitter and writing op-eds saying, wait a minute, inflation has gotten way out of control. We have to take a second look at both monetary and fiscal stimulus and rein it in. He's pretty much the only one. I have no idea if Biden in this White House actually listened to a guy like Larry Summers, but there are some out there, Austin Goolsbee and a few others, who have been at least trying to get the White House to pay attention that their policies are doing a lot of damage.
If you enjoy our one-on-one interviews with the newsmakers, the people who know of what they speak, please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, especially on Spotify. Just look for my name, Sebastian Gorka. Look for America First. It's free. Subscribe today. Spread the word. Give us a review, and then you'll never miss a thing. When it comes to the other side, when it comes to the midterms and, God willing, President Trump coming back in 2024, Monica, it sounds like an oversimplification, but at the end of the day, it's getting government out of the way. That's what we need the most.
Yes, 1,000%. We have this huge labyrinthine oppressive government that has grown so big. And every time it grows, you lose more of your freedom. Now it's in the hands of a unitary government by the Democrats, White House, House, and Senate. And every single thing that they do is in the service of power and control for them and away from you. So ultimately, we need a huge reduction in the size of government. Republicans who have become president usually talk a good line about that. Very few of them actually do it. Even Reagan didn't preside over any kind of meaningful reduction size of government. Trump did. There was, through attrition and other things, there was a slight reduction. But, you know, you need a president who is elected with a mandate to actually rip out the entire administrative state, rip out the deep state, and start all over again. And I do think if Donald Trump is elected again, I do think he's going to be a lot smarter about the administrative state, and certainly the deep state. And I think he's going to make it his mission to root out all of the corruption, root and branch. And I know it's going to be very difficult, and they're going to try to burn down the country and ruin him like they did the last time. But if we're going to get this country back to a very healthy place, we're going to need to take that on. And frankly, Trump is the only one tough enough with enough vision and guts and fortitude to do it.
Yeah, we need a berserker. We need somebody who's going to drain the swamp and get rid of the deep staters. Personnel and the swamp are the key issues that will guarantee or cause the fall of the next Trump administration. The book is Nixon Off the Record, and also What the Bleep Just Happened by our guest, Monica Crowley.
Dr. G is in the house on America First.
Welcome back to One-on-One with me, Sebastian Gorka, and Monica Crowley. Will you just share with our listeners the lessons learned or what you'd like to tell them after your experience? Because as my good friend Chris Plant says, who has the morning show in D.C., the aim is very simple. The aim is to prevent decent people from ever considering serving a conservative administration. So what is your message after you stepped into the arena as well and paid the price?
Yes, well, thank you for that question. And that was a very dark time for me, so I appreciate your asking. Originally, I was going into the Trump administration with General Flynn. I was going to be the strategic communications director for the NSC, and I was mercilessly attacked with lies and smears, and it was a relentless campaign to try to remove me. What I didn't understand in retrospect is that they were targeting me. They didn't care about me. They were targeting General Flynn and, of course, Donald Trump. So I was in the crossfire. But I also now know in retrospect, because this was January of 2017, that they were targeting Flynn. And now we all know that. And what better way than to remove the person who was going to be on TV, radio, and in print every day defending Flynn and defending the administration's foreign policies? Me. So they had to remove me to isolate Flynn in order to attack him. So they smeared me with a pack of lies. And I will say that the lesson here is twofold. One, I was the first casualty of Trump. Two, when you go into government like this, you assume that everybody is on the same side, and they're not.
Yeah, it was a true wake-up for me when I realized there were people at my rank, deputy assistant. There's only between me and the president, there's, you know, the assistant to the president, like Mike Flynn or Steve Bannon. So you're two ranks beneath the president, and there were people at my rank, Monica, in the White House who detested their boss, the president. And nobody forces you to be a deputy assistant to the president. You're not conscripted. It is a political commission that you choose. So that's the definition of me for the deep state. And we have to do our homework, and we have to have a bench. And God willing, I know President Trump, if we win in the midterms, if we win in the Senate and the House, he will run. And if we can stop election fraud, he will be the next president of the United States. And then we need good people like Monica Crowley back inside the swamp, fighting the swamp creatures. God bless you for doing what you do, Monica Crowley. Read her books, follow her on Twitter, and if you enjoy this show, support those who make it possible. Great Americans like Mike Lindell. Please go to MyPillow.com. Use my name to get up to 66% off. The left wants to destroy him, not because he worked in the Trump administration, but because he's a patriot and he speaks the truth. 800-829-8468, MyPillow.com, promo code G-O-R-K-A to get up to 66% off. As ever, since it's Friday, we close with the words of Monica and my former boss, President Trump.
We will not bend. We will not break. We will not yield. We will never give in. We will never give up. We will never back down. We will never, ever surrender. My fellow Americans, our movement is far from over. In fact, our fight has only just begun.
Our fathers brought forth upon this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
The world will little note or long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here.
I have a dream today.
Ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
I can hear you, the rest of the world hears you, and the people... and the people who knock these buildings down will hear all of us soon.
And we will make America great again.
This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
Have you been eating edibles? Like, are you okay? That's the THC level of those edibles you've been eating. And then second, they ask her a simple question. Folks, keep in mind, please. This is the vice president of the United States. Coronavirus, probably the biggest, if not obviously one of the biggest issues right now. They ask a simple question. Like, hey, you guys are doing this, you know, Manhattan Project for testing. You know, when do you think the testing will be arrived? She's like, next week? Maybe, like, she looked at her phone and was like, someone text me, please. You don't know? How do you not know that?
I do love it when Dan gets a little bit excited. His voice goes up an octave. You're not listening to the wrong channel. It is America First, and I am your host, Sebastian Gorka, and you are listening to the Salem Radio Channel. Guys, it's Friday. I do declare it is Friday, which means it's Second Amendment Friday. It's Ask Dr. G Anything Friday. We have a great group of guests, including none other than the founder of the Warrior Poet Society, former Special Forces officer John Lovell will be with us. Monica Crowley, former spokesperson for the Trump administration's Treasury Department. The Baron is in the house. Boris Epstein, my former White House colleague, and none other than Jersey Joe. Joe Piscopo will be with us momentarily, but I want to hear your voices. It's Ask Dr. G Anything Friday as well. The phone number is 833-33-GORKA. That's 833-334-6752. I want you to sound off. I was a little bit grim yesterday in my response to the Supreme Court decision. I want your reactions. My team said, no, it's a win. It's a win. I just feel sorry for all those the nurses and doctors who were dealt a blow yesterday. But I want you to comment on the following. So we're going to be with Monica Crowley, fabulous lady, smart lady, worked for President Trump, worked for President Nixon. And she's going to be with us for the whole last hour one-on-one. And yesterday she tweeted this out, and I've just retweeted it, very popular tweet. The Biden presidency is circling the drain. Not just because Kamala might be eating edibles, as Dan says, but because of everything that's happened in just, it's less than a year. It's less than a year. Shocking. And I want you to tell me, I'm so worried here. I don't want to get out in front over my skis, okay? I don't want to get too excited about this. But I have a feeling something's happening right now. When you get CNN do a whole package, CNN, on how bad things are. When you have that interview that we aired clips of yesterday from Craig Melvin on NBC, actually asking Kamala real questions, which she couldn't answer. I think something's happening. I think the left, the Democrats, may have had enough of Joe Biden. Is it possible? Let's start with our team. Let's go in reverse order from yesterday. Let's start with the newest member of the America First massive cohort we have here. John, tell us, has something changed or is it just same old, same old?
Has anything changed? I feel there's new winds blowing in the swamp, I think.
But do you think the left, so my the thing I'm interested in, do you think the Dems have had enough of Sleepy Joe?
I don't think they can sustain any more of this. Now, the real question is, what do they follow it up with? What's the backup here? We've gone over that a couple times. Right. There's not a lot there on
well,
the
Hillary,
roster.
Well, Hillary, come on! Wouldn't that be great?
When you're pulling that one out of the bag, you know you're desperate.
Okay, let's go to Eric. Eric, do you think he's already such a liability that they're going to pitch him?
I think, I've said this before off air, but this is the first time saying on air. I think they're going to hold on him for a little bit longer. They're going to weaken at Bernie's, his political corpse, through the midterms.
Really?
Yeah.
You don't think he's too big of a liability for the midterms?
He may be, but you know who's even more of a liability before the midterms? Kamala Harris. We've noted on the show that her approval ratings are even worse. She's way less likable than him. I think they're going to hold him on through the midterms so that when they get crushed in the midterms, at least in the House, which we know they will, then they'll blame that on him and then force Kamala in after that. Because the crucial thing, as I mentioned, if she serves less than half of what his term would have
right.
been, she's eligible for two more full
yeah,
terms.
But come on. You seriously think they want Kamala for 2.5 terms?
Absolutely.
Why? She's a disaster.
She's everything that they've wanted, I think. They can control her just as easily as they can control Biden.
No, but she can't get reelected. She got less than 2% in the primaries. What logic does that make to have her in there for 2.5 terms?
I mean, if they continue the voter fraud measures we saw in 2020, then it
the sunny interpretation from Eric. Let's stay on this topic before we go to Mr. G. Let's listen to the man who was the only smart person inside, because I'm sorry. Obama could read a teleprompter, but not a smart guy. The only guy with a couple of brain cells to rub together was, of course, David Axelrod, the campaign manager and then the chief of staff inside the White House. And he died in the wool, slammed Biden's quote-unquote rhetoric. Cut 10, play cut.
Yeah, look, I don't think the president's rhetoric in Atlanta was particularly useful. Without changing the filibuster, you're never going to get the bill done. And so he knew that. So he's been trapped between these two places, and he's tried to thread the needle, and it's been problematical for him.
Problematic rhetoric and cinema. The filibuster's not going anywhere for the time being. Mr. G, is this just wishful thinking on my behalf, or have the left had enough?
No, there is no way Biden's still going to be president going into the midterms. Right. If you think about it, just did some quick numbers. 2010, which was Obama was much better than Biden. His lowest approval rating that year was 43%.
Right.
He was at 45 at the election. The Republicans that year in the House, they picked up 63 seats.
Yes.
Six in the Senate, six governorships. This is going to be a disaster. They have to do something. Maybe Kamala's worse, whatever. They're the spin doctors. They'll try and say this is something new. They have to do something. They have to get him out of there.
Okay, but let's stay on this. So, so you're backing me up on they have to get rid of him. Way too big of a liability for the midterms. But to this point, Eric raises, they got to know that she's a disaster.
Yes, but...
But they just repackaged it or what?
It's a Hail Mary. You try. Think about it. These are the people that come up with anything. They lose to Trump. Oh, he's a Russian asset that wanted a Moscow hotel. They will all get together. Right. They will all be on the same message that this is something different.
All right. So they're going to try and, what is it they say, polish the excrement. They're going to try and polish the excrement and to make it look as if she's actually a viable candidate. I think you might be right. I think they're going to try and say, we can just fudge it. We can fudge it. Okay, let's give her credit. We don't often do this, but... I'm going to recognize. What is she? Is she bisexual? What is she? What is Kristen Sinema? What is she? What is she famous for?
Bisexual,
yes.
Bisexual, sorry. Not lesbian. But this is what matters, right? Who you go to bed with is what's important for the Democrats. This is her take on why she's standing by the filibuster. Cut 11.
The shift of power back and forth means the Senate 60s vote threshold has proved maddening to members of both political parties in recent years, viewed either as a weapon of obstruction or a safety net to save the country from radical policies, depending on whether you serve in the majority or the minority. But what is the legislative filibuster other than a tool that requires new federal policy to be broadly supported by senators representing a broader cross-section of Americans, a guardrail, inevitably viewed as an obstacle by whoever holds the Senate majority, but which in reality ensures that millions of Americans represented by the minority party have a voice in the process.
Why has she got a crucifix? It's so weird. Why is somebody who's famous for being a bisexual sitting on the floor of the Senate giving a speech with a very visible cross? I mean, look, hate the sinner, love the sinner, but you're a little bit confused, my dear. Go back to Genesis and read chapter 1, okay? And then get back to us when you choose what you're wearing. But her point is right. The filibuster is there to stop what? Extremism from either side. It's a safety valve. It's a breaker. So I don't know your real reasons, but you are right now doing the right thing. God bless you.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.